My name is Brian Treese. I'm the mayor of Columbia, Missouri. 5 weeks ago, I came before you to announce our approach to prepare and respond and recover from COVID-19, the novel coronavirus. We committed then to lead with the epidemiology, to be prepared but not panic, and to show compassion to patients, healthcare providers, and persons impacted by COVID-19. Last night at the Columbia City Council meeting, you heard our Director of Public Health, Stephanie Browning, discuss the four triggers that will guide our continued but measured response to coronavirus. Those thresholds for action include a sustained reduction in cases for at least 14 days, the ability of local hospitals to safely treat all patients requiring hospitalization without resorting to crisis standards of care, and the capacity to test all people with COVID-19 symptoms, along with the capacity of our health department in Columbia and Boone County to conduct active monitoring and contact tracing. Earlier today, representatives of our three hospital systems, our three institutions of higher education, our superintendent of Columbia Public Schools, along with public health and safety officials, met to discuss the current lay of the land. Here in Columbia and Boone County, we can be proud of the results of our stay-at-home order, and thanks to the responsible and timely and appropriate action early on, we are seeing the results of our efforts. We limited gatherings to 50% of capacity on March 17th. Drive-through testing began on March 18th. We limited gatherings to 10 people or less on March 20th, and on March 25th, the city and county issued a stay-at-home order. By comparison, the state stay-at-home order occurred on April 6th. And while Boone County used to have one of the highest case rates per 100,000 people, we now have one of the lowest. And while Columbia is the fourth largest city in the state, our incidence of positive cases is a fraction of our peers in St. Louis City and St. Louis County, and it's less than half the rate of the state as a whole. We have cut that doubling rate of positive cases by nearly two-thirds. But I want to be clear. We are not out of the woods yet. But thanks to the effort and sacrifice of families and physicians and nurses and businesses, we have shown we can flatten the curve. And we want these positive results to continue. When we think back to those four triggers and where we are today, I want to make a comment about testing. 4 weeks ago, that same group of institutions of higher ed and hospitals met with the governor and the state health director and asked them to help accelerate doctors' orders for COVID tests. And thanks to MU Healthcare CEO Jonathan Curtwright's concept and frankly the healthcare infrastructure here in Columbia, we were able to work with GeneTrait and other local labs to accelerate the results of those tests even more. And working together, MU Healthcare and Boone Hospital quickly stood up drive-through testing on March 18th to test as many people as possible to stop the spread of this disease. Because of that, we are able to announce today that our local hospitals have met the milestones to slowly begin treating not only COVID patients, but in addition to those persons who need clinically necessary services, without jeopardizing our hospital capacity and the personal protective equipment that is essential to preserving and rebuilding our readiness to continue our response. Joining me today from Boone Hospital is Dr. Robin Blunt, the Chief Medical Officer, and then I want to invite MU Healthcare's Dr. Mary Beck, the Incident Commander, for this response to speak to you. Dr. Blunt.
Thank you, Mayor Treese, for having us. First of all, I want to say that we are really unique here in mid-Missouri. We have an incredible healthcare system. We have been collaborating very closely. We look at this as how does mid-Missouri respond to a pandemic? We really, very early on, started planning together and planning with our other experts, using information from the CDC, MU Health, BJC, all of our other sources, and making sure we really could provide the best care for mid-Missouri. Our guiding principles are that we will keep our patients safe, our staff safe, and our community safe, and that's what we've been really working towards for these past, really, more than just 1 month. We really have been looking at this since early February or even before, trying to plan and be sure we do the right thing. I think we had a very progressive community leadership here with Mayor Treese and the county and Mr. Atwill. We jumped on this. We saw this coming, and we did something about it. And I think we've seen incredible results because of that. People have been making significant, tremendous sacrifices over the past month, and that has, we're all in this together. It's been a huge sacrifice. It's been tough on citizens. It's been tough on the hospitals. It's been tough on businesses. But if we hadn't done this, we can just imagine what it could look like here. I think we all know what the worst case scenario could be, because we've seen it in this country, we've seen it in other places of the world. And I think this community came together and did a great job. We now feel that we have reached some milestones. We are seeing a very small change in positive COVID testing cases daily now. What looked like started out a pretty steep curve is now maybe one or two new cases a day in an area that serves really hundreds of thousands of people. We feel that we've been able to take care of the COVID patients we have. We've been able to take care of the patients that need us for non-COVID situations. People still have heart attacks and strokes and need their appendix taken out, and we've been doing all of that. We've been doing our best to preserve the materials and supplies that are needed to provide this health care. And we are looking at it now that we feel we can very, very slowly, it's not a light switch, but very slowly, move towards providing some more essential care. That's what we do. We take care of people. People need us. And we have tried very hard to make sure that anyone, we have made sure that anyone that needs care now got it. We have people that still need care that we feel we need to provide a service to. And so we have agreed we don't want to move beyond our stay-at-home order. Our county, our city, our governor has a stay-at-home order until May 3rd. And we feel we will respect that, and I think it's the right choice. We need a little more time to, again, let this all settle. And once at that point, our hospital systems are collaborating, and we will very slowly and carefully, by watching markers, watching for signs that things may be slipping back, and being willing to make changes if we see that. We have good testing capacity in Boone County. Both hospitals have been providing testing really at a great rate. And we have the ability to continue to care for COVID patients, continue to care for those other needs that people have. We will be monitoring our emergency drug supplies. The limiting factors are, do we have enough PPE? Do we have enough drugs to do more surgeries? These drugs are being used all over the country, and they are in some short supply. And we want to make sure that we can provide for the patients that we are following and taking care of, but also be ready if there is another surge or a change or an uptick in COVID cases here. We also have to be very cognizant of the blood supply. We need to make sure that that is available for our patients when they need it. So looking at all of these items, we are making sure that as we start a very slow movement forward in taking care of an additional group of patients, that we're not going to get to a point where we can't take care of an increase in COVID or changes that may occur in our community or in our surrounding community. We, between the two hospitals, we take care of about 26 counties in mid-Missouri. And in addition, the VA pretty much goes from the northern to the southern border and takes care of even more. So we are working in conjunction with all three hospitals to be sure that we take care of the people that need us. So, again, I'm just, we'll pay attention. We're going to be monitoring. We'll be watching testing. We'll be watching changes in incidents. We'll be making sure that if we do more surgeries, that we will have plenty of supplies and, continue to work collaboratively with our healthcare partners. So with that, I'll turn that over to Dr. Beck.
Thank you, Dr. Blunt. Thank you, Mayor, for having us today. We really, at MU Healthcare and in our community, we're really blessed that we can collaborate. This has been such an incredible effort. Stephanie Browning, Public Health, has really done a great job in leading how we respond as a community. So I feel blessed for all of us that we have that. And as we think about COVID, there's some people that say, well, post-COVID, and that's probably not a reality. And we all need to understand that. Our community needs to understand that. It is here with us. It's going to stay. And we need to make sure that we are doing the right things to address it. And so people talk about social distancing, physical distancing, probably perhaps as good a term also. And as we look to the future, as Dr. Blunt has just explained, we are in this looking at how do we phase our approach to moving forward? How do we move forward? So those patients that have delayed care, have paused, that they are going to get the care that they need. We think about patients that could have complications because they've delayed care. I'm aware of parents that are not taking their children to their primary care visits to get their immunizations. What impact is that going to have on public health? So we have to be prepared as a community, as healthcare providers, to say, how do we make sure that we create safe spaces? So right now, the work that we're doing, I know that Boone, BJC, is doing, is to say, how do we alter our physical environments? And it's kind of that force function of to allow that safe care. We already, for those patients that do need to come see us in clinics or even in the hospital setting, we are taking temperatures as people come in the door. We're taking temperatures of all our staff every day when they come to work. We cannot walk in without having our temperature taken. And there's a security guard there to make sure it happens. And I'm not trying to be light about it, but that's the kind of thing that we have to create systems now to make sure that we can do this for the long haul. It's not a short-term thing. It's for the long haul. So we're looking now and working diligently to say, how do we remove chairs? So as I look in this room today, there's chairs that are taped off, and we have to be a certain distance from each other. That's the kind of thing we have to do in waiting rooms even. And then at registration desks, do we have the appropriate plexiglass to shield our registrars from as they register a patient that comes in? All of those things are important. And then, of course, our personal protective equipment. What's the right type of mask that we should have and for what persons? Is it the patient? Is it a family member? Is it for our staff? What are those conditions? So we're looking all the time at how do we continue to move forward, but in the safest way possible for members of our community, but for also for all our healthcare professionals. All of our healthcare professionals, it's so important. We want to also continue to maximize the use of technology. Telehealth has expanded immensely. I personally had a telehealth visit last week with a provider. It worked great. It was simple. But what's the government going to do as far as looking to the future once we move to a certain state with our national response? What will change? So we have to continue to look at where are we doing in-person care appropriately, and how are we preventing complications for those that have delayed their care? We know that together we can overcome challenges and that we can really be effective in serving our communities all throughout the 25 counties that we serve, because we do serve a large regional group. And then as we think about the future, we also need to think about our commitment and how we care, how we innovate. And that's really key also to the future. We know that there's been great innovation through the creation of the face mask. We've had people so that we have broader access to personal protective equipment for all of our employees, and that we've been able to share those even to nursing homes, which is an important aspect when we think about that patient population. So we're proud of all that we've done, but we know that there's much greater work to do. And so we're pleased to be here today and to say that we're looking to the future, very phased approach. But again, we are going to be monitoring data on a daily basis with our healthcare partners in this community, throughout our region, and especially with our public health officials. So thank you very much.
Let me take 3 to 5 minutes to take any questions you might have. We also have the CEOs of Boone Hospital, as well as MU Healthcare, Monica Smith, Director of Nursing, and as well as Dr. Stephen Witt from MU Healthcare as well.
Mayor Treese, one question from Scott Swofford at the Missourian. The Columbia and Boone County stay-at-home orders are more stringent than those of the state. Will the restrictions that apply here but not elsewhere in the state remain in place?
As Director Stephanie Browning informed the City Council last night, I think it's safe to say that Columbia's stay-at-home order will likely be extended. You're right. It is more stringent than the governor's statewide stay-at-home order. I expect it to be something less than what we have now, but something more than what is being required statewide. But I thought it was important to lay the healthcare foundation first. As one of those triggers we need to meet in order to turn that dial just a little bit. And so to have the hospitals tell us today that they were prepared to not only handle COVID patients, but clinically necessary services, I think is one of those four triggers. Yep. Sebastian from KBIA.
Yeah. I was wondering, I know that cases, new cases here in Boone County have slowed, but I've been monitoring in Saline and Manitowoc counties. They have extremely high rates per 100,000 residents, and they also both have major meat processing plants, which have been hot spots in other states. So I'm curious from our providers here, how many people from those plants have you seen? What are your plans with regards to that, and how will that impact your plans to slowly provide necessary care for other patients?
I'll let the healthcare providers respond to that. Let me also tell you that our public health director is monitoring that region, and Region F, similar to the Highway Patrol region. The case rate per 100,000 there is about 46 point something. And so we are aware of that. We're also aware that some of Saline County's patients may go to Fitzgibbon Hospital. Some of them may come here, as well as Manitowoc, but we are taking that regional approach and preserving our capacity for that. I don't know who the best person to handle it.
Well, actually, Mayor Treese basically gave the answer. You know, those counties are in our service area, and we are very aware of them. They send patients here. And when you hear that, Boone County has had 90 cases, we really are taking care of all the cases all around us. And the public health departments in all of those counties are in close contact with each other. Each county is responsible to do contact tracing and work with isolation for or quarantine for contacts, et cetera. So really, we consider what's happening all around us to be, again, what our responsibility is, and we continue to have great capacity to take care of them. So.
Sydney from KMIZ.
Yeah, can you provide an example of what type of essential care you guys will start providing again, slowly reintroducing?
I'll let Mary Beck answer that as well, but, you know, as I indicated earlier, there are certain cardiac catheterizations, quarterly mammogram appointments that people have been missing, all of those things that complicate secondary and tertiary care if they're not caught early, but maybe Dr. Beck would address that as well.
Sure, happy to. So what example that I provided earlier was the child that's not having their immunizations done. Another example would be for someone that perhaps has a hernia, but they have put off saying we don't need to do surgery yet, but you don't want to wait too long because it can grow, you can have great complications, a very complex problem on your hands. It could be the patient that has delayed their cardiac cath, so they've had some chest pain. Well, let's put it off. Well, how long do you really wait for that care? That it can have devastating impact.
Spencer?
So can you kind of explain, we have there's been a lot of people lately pretty antsy to kind of get things back up and running, let's say. And I guess can maybe you explain from the city's perspective, and then we could also from the healthcare perspective, why it is that things have to reopen slowly, that it can't happen all at once, and it has to be a slow, measured process, and what the dangers are if we don't do that.
Yeah, great question. And, I think the same way that we took a measured response back in early March by limiting gatherings to 50% of the capacity and then 10 people or less and then the emergency declaration and then the stay-at-home order, all of those factors were based on the epidemiology that we were seeing on the ground, the number of positive cases. First, it was travel-related transmission, that was community transmission, and we've shown, based on the steps that we've taken, that we can flatten the curve, that we can slow the spread of that disease, and now we need to take that same measured approach to resume groups of 10 people or less. We're not there yet. We are able to balance the healthcare needs. Keep in mind, we were flattening the curve in order to give our hospital providers the excess capacity they needed to treat COVID patients. Now that they have shown they have that capacity to treat COVID patients and now clinically necessary services, we can take the next step. I think the vice chancellor at the University of Missouri said it best on the MU town hall this week. This is not flipping a switch. This is turning a dial, and we want to turn that dial and measure the impact of that. And when we, as a community, take those same measured steps and we continue to flatten the curve, we continue to slow the spread, we can take another step. But this is going to be very much an incremental process that lasts not days and weeks, but probably months.
So one thing that I think really needs to be understood is that COVID is not going away. COVID is going to be with us probably like the flu for hundreds of years, possibly. It's going to be in our community. We need to develop herd immunity to it. We really don't have a lot of penetrance yet of people that have had it, recovered from it, and have immunity. We don't even really know how much having it once gives us immunity in the future. So if you think about the fact that we know there are a lot of people with asymptomatic disease. They are not showing symptoms. They don't know they have it. We don't know they have it. And they're out there. And if we stay apart, if we do social distancing, you can go about, you know, business at a certain level and not be at great risk to catch that disease. But if you simply just turn on the switch and say, people do whatever you want to do, you will see a significant change in resurgence in the disease. And you will see it at a different level than we've had here in mid-Missouri because of all the things we've done to prevent that from happening. So,
I want to thank you. Do you want to do one more question?
Do you mind if I do one more?
Please.
Sorry. I know you guys said you're monitoring things like testing and looking to the future, but can you provide a rough timeline for when people who may have put off care might be able to start getting back to the doctor and reaching out to you guys?
I know right now that our ambulatory chief is really looking to say, what are those patients that we believe have paused care, that we've delayed their appointments, that we're looking to say who's at high risk? And so making those contacts with those people. So we're hoping that, you know, over the next several weeks, that that's when the dial will start turning up, and that we'll start coming back into business to really say, to bring people back in and or do a telehealth visit. We are doing a great deal of those now, but really to ramp it up a little bit, but to those people that really are on perhaps a tipping point.
I want to thank you for joining us for this community briefing. We're going to resume our meeting and look forward to sharing additional information on the stay-at-home order and future movements forward as we go forward. Thank you.